All right, good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all here today on this nice, cool Sunday morning. I don't know about you, but I built my first fire of the season at the house yesterday. It's that time of the year. All right, it is great to see everybody here today, and I want to especially point out a couple people we have with us today. Kim and Raul Solis are here. Kim, can you raise your hand? Raul is in the back in the translating booth. And Raul was here the first day that we had Spanish translation, but his wife had to be away at a ladies' conference and she was speaking there. So today he has his second, or his better half with him, right? He's going like this back there in the booth, right? Yes. So great ministry couple. They've been married like 27 years or whatever. They met down in Mexico when she was down there doing an AIM program in Mexico, and they met, and the rest is history. They were married, have three great kids that are out of the house. They're empty nesters. And living in the United States this year, as Raul works on his citizenship stuff this fall, if I understand correctly. And also, Kim's mom, she grew up in the Milwaukee, Oregon area. And so they're living with her and kind of working with her at this stage of her life for this year. So they're in a bit of transition. And we're thankful that they're able to be with us during our transition to help us with the skills and the gifts that God has given them. So make sure you say hello to them today. Somehow you'll see them in the back somewhere, but make sure you say hello and say thank you for being with us to help with our transition in our Hispanic ministry. Today we are going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through chapter 3, verse 4. And as was mentioned earlier, we're continuing in our series on 1 Corinthians. And specifically, our theme for this year is life together. We're exploring what does it mean to live out this faith that God has given us, this life that truly is life in this world and in the world to come. How do we live that out together as a Christian community? That's our theme for this year, and 1 Corinthians is our guide for helping us explore that. And last week, we looked at the first part of chapter of 1 Corinthians, where the Apostle Paul begins by urging the Corinthians to not be focused on personalities or worldly wisdom or eloquence in presentation. Instead, he says, focus on the one who died for us, Christ. Focus on the word of the cross, which is that Christ has been crucified. And also focus on the power of God, that is the demonstration of the Spirit. Why? The basic answer is, as he says, so that we will not boast in humans, but in the Lord only. Today we carry on with the apostle's message in this theme, seeing that he continues his teaching. He doesn't just kind of hit against division briefly and then move on to other things. No, it's deep. And so for several chapters, he's really digging into this. Why is there division in Corinth? And he kind of gets to this idea of there being a root cause to the division. And that's what we'll be exploring today. And I think we understand the idea of root causes to things. I have an old pickup truck that has this problem. This truck is way newer than mine, okay? But it's got this overheating issue. And we don't drive it very much, so we just kind of do the fill it up every once in a while with water. And Mike's probably going, oh, don't do that, you know? There's like no radiator fluid anymore. It's just water that I put in there. And I drive it a little bit. And then when it starts getting hot, I kind of put some more in the reservoir and kind of move on. One of these days, I will get around to finding out what really the problem is. But the symptom is the overheating. It's never gotten that bad. It's just the temperature gauge goes up, and I say, okay, time to pull over and do something. Okay, but that's the symptom of the problem. But we all understand, especially you mechanics, that something deeper is going on here. There's something going on in the cooling system of your vehicle that needs to be addressed, or you will simply continue to have an overheating issue. And if you don't watch out, you're gonna burn your engine up. And that's what Paul does today. He starts to drill down into the root causes of the division. And it's deeper. It's deeper, and we will explore that this morning. Let's pray as we begin. Our Father in heaven, we love you and thank you for your word that you left us, that you gave us, so that we could be guided into truth and into knowledge of you and your church, and how we are to live our lives together in this world. this morning, Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture. Please guide us to understanding the deeper reasons why division often takes place, and also the thing that you would have us do to correct that. And so guide us this morning as we read and study and hear your word. It's in Christ that I pray. Amen. Let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age, who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse 9. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. The natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are folly to him, and he is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual person judges all things, but is himself to be judged by no one. For who has understood the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The Apostle Paul begins to unpack and drill down into why the division has taken place by saying, listen, I know I just got done saying that we don't preach with wisdom and eloquence and all that kind of thing, but I'm not saying that we don't have a wisdom at all. Instead, he begins to explore this idea that there's a different kind of wisdom that we understand, that we have received. For those who are mature and are spiritually minded, they see it as wisdom. But those who are immature, those who do not have the Spirit of God in them, they see it as just foolishness. But let us not ever think that our faith is based on true foolishness. Instead, it's based on the wisdom that is true and the wisdom that is from God. We might think of an analogy about this kind of idea between worldly and spiritual wisdom. You know, you might listen to the radio, but you're either on an AM dial or the FM dial, two different kinds of frequencies. Both are radio, but a different frequency. You might use a computer, but some of you use an Apple and some of you use a PC. They're both computers, but they're working on different operating systems. We understand this kind of concept, but they're applied to wisdom of the world and the Spirit. We understand that there is a worldly wisdom that the world has sorted out through its time and based largely on just observation of what happens in the world, but also tainted by sin. There's that worldly wisdom, but then there is the spiritual wisdom that now we have received from God and that has been given to us through the Holy Spirit, that was part of what Paul was preaching to the Corinthians and everywhere that he went and preached. Sometimes worldly wisdom matches up with spiritual wisdom, but sometimes it doesn't. You can think of lots of examples. One of them might be, you ever heard the phrase, you reap what you sow? Okay? It comes out of an agricultural setting, you know, that if you throw into the ground corn, guess what? Corn is going to grow up. That's what's going to happen. It just comes from observation of nature. And the Bible affirms that same principle. that you will reap what you sow. Paul says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 8, that if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap a spiritual harvest. If you sow to the natural person, the natural human inclinations, you're just going to get fleshliness out of that. And so we are to sow to the Spirit. There is some overlap, but there's also a lot of disconnect between the two kinds of wisdom. And another biblical writer makes this same point. If you look at James chapter 3, James clearly talks about these two kinds of wisdoms in similar terms. James chapter 3, verse 13 says this: "Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So Paul wants them to understand, and this is just something that James as well pointed out, that there's two different kinds of wisdom, at least. There's the wisdom from above, and there's the wisdom from below. And we have come preaching to you a wisdom from God that is taught to us by the Spirit. It is a revealed wisdom. It is from the very heart of God, and that's what the Spirit of God has given. And he kind of gets into this kind of this idea that, hey, listen, it makes sense that there's only that your spirit inside of you is the only one that knows really what's going on inside your mind, right? Nobody else can read your mind. Is that true? Okay, good. Are you with me now on this? Okay. I hope nobody can, right? That'd be weird, right? I think there's a movie about that, right, of people that can read someone else's mind and they know everything they're about ready to say, and it's kind of funny. But you can't do that. Even in yourself, you kind of know what's going on inside of you. And he makes the analogy, says, you know, and the same thing is true with God. The Spirit of God knows the depths of God. It searches out the depths of God's heart and God's purposes and God's will, because he's part of the Godhead himself. And Paul makes the profound point in chapter 2, verse 12, and that is the Spirit that has been given to you. So the same Spirit that searches out the depths of God's heart has been given to you and given to all of us to guide us to understand fully the gifts that God has given us. Do you see that in verse? If you want to meditate verse 12, chapter 2, verse 12, the Spirit that's been given to us, it's the same Spirit that searches God's heart, that's been given to us. Why? So that we can understand the free gift that you have received. That's part of what the Spirit's role is in our life, to help us understand what we've been given. We're baptized into Christ. We receive the blessings of knowing him, being called by his name, part of the body of Christ, forgiven of all our sins. We kind of understand at this level, but the Spirit's work is to take us deeper and deeper into understanding how big of a gift that is. All of us have probably received a gift at one time that maybe you opened it up and you thought, oh, that's nice, you know, a keychain, you know, something like that. I'm using just an analogy, but you know, maybe as you examine it closer, you realize, no, this is a one of a kind keychain, or it has a diamond in it or something like that, and you begin to realize something deeper about this gift as time goes on. And the Spirit is helping us understand the free gift of salvation that we have received in God. And so Paul says that's the role of the Spirit, and that Spirit is providing us with a wisdom from God that is deeper and broader and better in every way than the wisdom of the world. And that's the wisdom that we are to function with in the body of Christ. The natural person and the spiritual person, a huge difference between those two. And there are people who function on that natural, kind of unspiritual manner. And then there are those who are actually living by the Spirit. And Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. That is the goal. The Spirit leads us into that way of thinking, to discern the world and everything around us with that spiritual kind of lens. So the end result of attention to the wisdom of the Spirit will be that our minds will be fully in tune with Jesus Christ and his purposes, the concerns of Jesus Christ and his desires, his will, and his mission will be our mission. This is the ultimate expression of spiritual maturity. And that leads us on into the next section. Paul then goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 4, building on this point that he just met, he says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, 'I follow Paul,' and another, 'I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human?" And the obvious response is, yeah, we're being human. You see, Paul is now getting to the main point. The underlying problem is not division. The underlying problem is a lack of maturity. In the same way that my pickup, the main problem is not that it's getting hot. The problem is that I have a leak somewhere, probably, right, Mike? Would that be fair to say? Okay. A leak somewhere, you know, either in the radiator or one of the hoses or somewhere else. You know, there's a leak. That's the problem. And so we begin to drill down and find out what that is. And he says, it's that you have not been growing. You have not been maturing. You're like little infants. You're babies. I came and I baptized you guys. I taught you stuff. I gave you milk. But by this time, you should be onto something bigger than that. And he uses this analogy kind of related to, infants and children, and every parent can understand that, right? You look at this picture. I mean, we all know that that's, you can't do that. A baby cannot eat a steak. I'm getting hungry right now, like looking at that. But, you know, that baby, I mean, is so far from being able to digest that, even though there'd be a lot of protein in there, there'd be a lot of good stuff for that baby to grow. It cannot handle that at this time in its life. It's got to have milk and Gerber and all that stuff, right? And Paul is saying, you know, I gave you the milk, but you couldn't handle solid food, but you need that. You need that to grow, because that's the problem with all of this jealousy and strife that's developed. You're not thinking at a spiritual level. And so the real solution here is not to say, don't divide up. Division's bad, right? The real solution is to say, why am I not growing deeper in the life of the Spirit? Why am I not learning how to plumb the depths of God's will for me, that he's given me of his Holy Spirit to live and to change me, change my mind, change my actions, change my desires, my emotions, everything about me, to shape me into the image and the mind of Christ, and I'm not getting there. Why is that? It's because we're not growing. We're stunted in our growth, and instead we need to focus on that, to grow deeper into the heart of God. And this growth is an absolute imperative for the Christian. If there's one thing that was true back then and has true been throughout the ages in the Christian church, is that people often come into Christ, they're brought into the universal body of Christ, they're brought into salvation, and then they just kind of stop there in terms of their growth. Almost as if it's a contractual thing. They say, well, what's the least amount that I've got to do to go to heaven when I die? And I'll kind of get in the door and say, okay, I'm coasting. Good. I'll kind of maintain it. I don't want to kind of slip out the door. I don't want to fall away, but I don't necessarily want to grow deeper into God. And that is damaging and detrimental to your individual spiritual life, but also to the life together that we share. Because you get worldly thinking that happens. You get unspiritual, soulish, natural, even fleshly ways of dealing with one another that causes strife and division and hurt. And it often does result in people falling away and leaving the church. How many people have left the church and left that walk with Christ because they've been harmed by stuff that's happened in the body of Christ that really you could chalk it up firmly to the fact that people are not functioning spiritually. They're functioning like natural people. And this is what the Apostle Paul is pointing to. You know, in Hebrews, if you want to look later, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 and following, there's that classic section in the book of Hebrews that's really dealing with a whole community that looks like they're about ready to throw in the towel with their faith. And he makes the same point, hey, you've got to move beyond the rudiments, the basics of the faith. And he even lists off some of them about washings and about eternal judgment and living right. And those are all really good things, but that's not the end. You need to grow deeper into your faith or you'll end up being pulled away by the world. And so he makes the same point there. Paul is wanting us, wanting the church in every age to understand that a fundamental part of being a disciple of Jesus Christ is to have the mind of Christ and to be shaped fully by the wisdom that comes down from God, from the very heart of God that we have access to. We have it within us. If you are baptized into Christ Jesus, you've made that commitment, you've confessed your faith, you've turned away from sin, the promise of God is that you have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. Not just the gifts of the Spirit, but the gift, the presence of the Holy Spirit in you now. But the question is, are we sowing to that? Are we fanning that into flame? Are we attending to that? Are we listening to the Holy Spirit's work in our lives? I was talking to Melody, and it was kind of interesting that the ladies' class this morning is all about this kind of thing, right? And some of you ladies are going, yeah, what? That's right. Are you listening? Are you tuned in to the work of the Spirit? Or have you kind of deadened it? Have you kind of just muffled it somehow? Well, God's promise to us is he's with us, his Spirit is with us, and we've got to start listening to his work and thinking in a spiritual mindset. It affects every area of our lives. That's what it means to be a disciple. The mind of Christ changes the way you view your family. It'll affect the way you raise your kids. Are you raising your kids just so that they can make a bunch of money when they grow up? You know, go to school, be a good citizen, you know, become a lawyer, become a doctor, be one of these kind of worldly things so that you make a lot of money and I'll be able to brag to my people that I go to, my kid, he went to this school, my kid, he's doing this, he's got a job doing, he's got a great job doing such and such. That's a worldly way of thinking about raising your kids. That's fleshly. That is passing away, as Paul says. That kind of thinking is passing away. The new age is coming where God's Spirit will be all in all, and we're kind of getting ready for that now. This old way, this worldly thing is going away, he says. How are you raising your kids? How are you dealing with your business? Is your business to glorify you or is it to glorify God? One way is a fleshly way of thinking. The other one is a spiritual way to think about this business that I have. Yeah, I got to make a living and all that, but how can I glorify God in that? That's a spiritual way of thinking. Your career, your finances, is the money that you have yours or is it God's? Just letting you use it while you're here in this earth. You see, the spiritual way of thinking influences everything in our personal lives, in our family lives, everything. And there is a result that comes from experiencing the spiritual wisdom versus the wisdom of the world. James says, what comes from wisdom of the world? It's strife, dissension. You know, I get my thing and you're all in battle with other people, right? You don't really care about other folks. Spiritual wisdom, you love one another. You care about other people, not just yourself. You care about God's kingdom, not just your own well-being. And so good things come from that. Peace comes from that. A lack of strife comes from that. Jealousy is abandoned. Coveting is gone. And so you can look at your life, brothers and sisters, and say, do I see strife, jealousy, all that kind of junk in areas of my life? It may be because I'm thinking about everything in an unspiritual way. And don't spend too much time just looking at the symptoms. Now my kids are acting up all the time. I got to do something about that. Well, maybe you do, but have you thought about what the underlying causes of that are? Have you thought deeper about it? Are you running your house in a way that provides them with the love and the support and the spiritual direction they need, maybe that's part of the problem. Are you modeling for them in your marriage a peace and communication, reconciliation and forgiveness and all that? That's a spiritual way to think about relationships rather than some kind of contractual thing that if you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. That's not a spiritual way to think about marriage. Ephesians 5 is a way to think about marriage, and we could go on and on and on about what this looks like. So the question you might ask yourself is, how are things going in those areas of your life? Is there harmony? Is there peace? And if there's not, you might be asking the question, am I looking at those things in a spiritual way? Or am I functioning as if I am a pagan who doesn't know God and doesn't have the Spirit of God living in me? And it certainly will affect the way that we live out our life here in the body of Christ. The mind of Christ should shape everything we do in this community, in our life together. It'll show up in every different place throughout our church life. This is where it's absolutely critical that our leaders are spiritual people, that their minds are shaped by the gospel, because that will be the tone that they set for the congregation. That's why when you select elders and deacons and ministers, you ask deep questions about their walk with God, their spiritual relationship, not about whether they're a good manager of this or that or those kind of worldly things. Those things can be helpful, but the fundamental thing that matters is, do they know Jesus Christ? Do they love him? And are they thinking in with the mind of Christ? And that's how you who you want leading your congregation. In 1 Timothy 3 speaks to that spiritual maturity, the spiritual wisdom, and will guide everything that we do in our congregation. It'll affect our organizational structure. It'll affect the way we do our budget and the priorities in our budget. Will they be spiritual things have the higher priority, or will the material things have the higher priority? It'll affect your buildings and grounds, your meetings, your decisions about ministries, your relationships, your associations, the structure of stuff. It will get its way into everything in our church. Everything we do here at the Kaiser Church of Christ must be flowing from a spiritual wisdom that comes down from God, not from that worldly wisdom that's unspiritual and dominates our culture today. How are we doing with that, brothers and sisters? I would say in some ways, we're doing pretty well. There are some things that we've tried to implement on a structural level that are trying to get us to think spiritually. It's been a long tradition to open every meeting with a prayer, okay? But we've been doing for the last several years to not only open with prayer, but have a scripture reading that gets us thinking with the mind of Christ before we have our staff meetings. We open up with scripture. The deacons are doing that. The elders are doing that. In other groups, you're opening up with prayer, but scripture as well. You want the wisdom of God to be on your lips as you're making decisions. And it should flow throughout the meeting, not just kind of bookends, right? Sometimes we do that, but we need to be, are we thinking spiritually? And I love it every once in a while in a meeting where somebody says, you know, we should stop and pray right now. I love that. That's a signal. That's a sign that we're thinking spiritually about whatever's going on. And those kinds of things do happen here in our church. But we can be better, can we not? We can be better. And so may we be thinking with the mind of Christ throughout all of the aspects of our church. This thinking spiritually and being a spiritually minded person is a daily battle that each person will have to fight. That's one of the reasons why we should be in prayer and we should be in the scripture every single day to meet with God, to have his will be our will, to be asking, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. May that be my prayer for today and every day, that we might have the mind of Christ. In conclusion, brothers and sisters, let us have the mind of Christ. We are blessed to have from God wisdom from his very heart through his Holy Spirit. And by the way, we'll be hearing a lot more about the Holy Spirit in the book of 1 Corinthians. He's just barely getting going here. It goes deeper and deeper as we go on. And chapter 12 is all about the life of the Spirit. And there's the manifestations of the Spirit we see in chapter 14 and so forth. But we have received this wonderful gift. This world with its pomp and its wisdom is indeed passing away. It's like reading an old textbook from 150 years ago on technology and realizing that it's old news, it's out of date, irrelevant except as a historical footnote and a reminder that God's truth, God's wisdom is eternal. It will stand the test of time and will take us into eternity. And that's why we cannot be focused on the wisdom of the world that is passing away, but on the wisdom of God that will never end through eternity. So let us be people dedicated and committed and absolutely loyal to the wisdom that comes from above, the wisdom of the Spirit from God's very heart. Let it guide our relationships, our walk with one another, our organizational structure, everything about our life. And may we grow in it. May we not stop growing. A good question to ask yourself today is, am I growing? You know, we had that picture of the kid up on the, there. How many of you had that in your house, like when you have your kid? Yeah, that's an awesome thing to do, right? If we were to do that in your life spiritually, would you see growth? From last year when you stood up against the trim, so to speak, and you got marked spiritually, and now you step back up in there right now, would there be a gap? Would there be development? Would there be growth? Or would it be like this? And if it's like that, I urge you, do something about that. Get into a life group. Come to Bible class. Get into a small group relationship with some fellow sisters or fellow brothers where you can pray and wrestle with the scriptures and grow. Do not stay still. Do not stay still. Do not be stagnant, but find ways to grow in the Word of God and in the body of Christ here at Kaiser so that you truly can be advancing and becoming ready for that stake that God has planned for each of us. Let's close in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do love you and thank you for your gift of the Holy Spirit. And Father, we want to know more of his work in our lives. We want to yield more to his promptings, guidance. We want to be able to earnestly and honestly say that we're listening and that we're able to discern when he's prompting us to love and good deeds. We know that his promptings will never take us away from your revealed word that's in Scripture, but he will help us through the daily application of Scripture in our lives. And so please help us to look for that and to be ready to receive his work in us and be open to it. Do not be put off by those who've maybe gone to extremes regarding the Spirit and put their own thoughts in there. Help us not to be just overreacting against that, but help us to be looking firmly to what your word teaches about the Spirit's work in our lives, and may we yield to him daily. It's in Christ's holy name that I pray. Amen.